This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Religious liberty took a hit in Missouri. A proposal to provide protections to people of faith as well as the LGBTQ community failed when the House committee deadlocked on the bill. Senate Joint Resolution 39 would have allowed Missouri voters to decide on a change in the state's constitution. That change would have extended protection for certain religious organizations and individuals from punishment by the state because of religious beliefs or practices. For example, it would have protected individuals in the wedding industry from being penalized by the state should they decline to use their services for a same-sex marriage ceremony, as has happened in other states. It would have also guaranteed services to same-sex couples, including spousal rights. The measure passed overwhelmingly in the state Senate, despite a 36-hour filibuster by Democrats. However, when referred to the House, it died in committee when three Republicans joined Democrats in not allowing the full House to vote on the measure. World Lutheran News Digest speaks with Missouri State Senator Bob Onder, who introduced the bill.
And now today's Fast Track.
I'm Buzz Ulbrich with news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. The American Humanist Association, among the largest national advocacy groups of non-believers and other secularists, wants the first Thursday in May to be recognized by Congress as a National Day of Reason. But that day is already designated as the National Day of Prayer, with a 65-year history of support from Congress, state, and local governments, and every sitting president since its inception in 1952. The United States House Armed Services Committee has passed an amendment offered by Oklahoma Republican Representative Steve Russell intended to allow faith-based contractors to provide services to the military without giving up their religious identity. The amendment will now go to the full House for consideration. The highest court in the U.S. military heard arguments that could affect religious freedom for decades to come. In the case United States v. Sterling, First Liberty attorneys and former U.S. Solicitor General Paul Clement represented Lance Corporal Moniface Sterling, a Marine court-martialed over a Bible verse in 2013. Sterling posted the Bible verse in her work cubicle and was ordered to remove the verse by her supervisor. She refused. That case awaits judgment from the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. North Carolina casts its bathroom bill as a common-sense bodily privacy law. The federal government calls it discrimination. The two will face off in federal court in North Carolina after two of the state's top officials sued the U.S. Justice Department, as well as Attorney General Loretta Lynch and one of her assistants. The lawsuit calls last week's demand that the state remedy its Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act by Monday or risk being in violation of federal law a baseless and blatant overreach. The United States Commission on International Religious Freedom recently released its annual Religious Freedom Report. That document found that religious freedom worldwide has been under serious and sustained assault since the release of their 2015 report. The commission once again pushes for the U.S. State Department to designate Pakistan as a country of particular concern under the International Religious Freedom Act, a recommendation it has been making since 2002. Meanwhile, India is rejecting the commission's charges that the religious freedom of minorities in the world's largest democracy is being violated with tacit support from elements in the ruling party. In New Delhi, a foreign ministry spokesperson said the report fails to show proper understanding of India, its constitution, and its society.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
I'm Kip Allen, host of World Lutheran News Digest. My guest today is Missouri State Senator Robert Onder, He was the one who introduced Senate Joint Resolution number 39. Senator, could you tell me a bit about yourself and what's the story on SJR 39?
Yeah, so Kip, I am a first-term state senator. I represent Western St. Charles County in the Missouri State Senate. I was elected in 2014 by a training and profession. I'm a medical doctor. I'm an allergist in St. Charles County and St. Louis County. And I live with my wife, Allison, and our six children in Lake St. Louis. And SJR 39, if it had been passed by the Missouri legislature, would have given the people of the state of the Missouri the chance to vote to protect their fellow Missourians, churches, pastors, religious organizations, and then some business people, specifically those involved in the wedding industry, from being punished by government for living out their sincerely held religious beliefs about marriage. I like to say that SJR 39 was a shield, not a sword. It was to protect from punishments by government, such as have been imposed in other states based on gay rights ordinances that have been used, to literally punish individuals and institutions because of beliefs about marriage.
Recently, I interviewed the Kleins from Sweet Cakes by Melissa.
Yes.
I'm sure
yes.
You're familiar with that case,
yes,
where they have suffered an enormous loss because they refused to bake a wedding cake celebrating a gay marriage. They lost $135,000. It was taken away from them by an administrative judge rather than an actual court ruling.
Right.
And they've lost their business. They've received death threats, hate mail, you name it, they got it.
Well, believe me, I'm familiar with the threats and the hate mail, that's for sure. But yes, the Kleins suffered greatly. You know, and what's really terrible about these cases, the Kleins and others, is that in these cases, no same-sex couple was really discriminated against or denied services per se. Generally, what it is that activist groups went shopping and looking for couples like the Kleins. They went to the first florist and the second florist and the third florist and the 25th florist and were told by multiple florists, sure, we'll do your flowers for you for your same-sex wedding. What date, what time, what color flowers do you like? But then they found the 25th florist, or in the case of the Kleins, the baker, who had a sincere, biblically based belief about marriage between a man and a woman. And when that baker or that florist declines to participate in their wedding ceremony, they say, I'll see you in court, and they use the power of government to persecute the Kleins and the florists and others. So it really is, you know, so many times the opponents of SJR 39 have said this is about discriminating against gay people. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is about protecting from persecution by government from anti-religious bigotry.
I also note that there are protections in here for gay couples. I've got a copy of the bill in front of
yes.
me now. And one of it says, nothing in this section prevents the state from providing a license to marry or providing any other marital entitlement service or benefits authorized by state law. And nothing in the section permits a hospital or other health care facility or an elder care facility or hospice to refuse to treat marriage as a valid purpose for a spouse's right for visitation and to make surrogate health decisions.
Yes. Yeah, so of course, last June, and this was one of these Supreme Court cases where the U.S. Supreme Court made it up out of whole cloth a new right that no one had ever seen in the Constitution before. You know, the U.S. Constitution does not mention marriage whatsoever, but the U.S. Supreme Court decided that there was a right to same-sex marriage in the U.S. Constitution.
That was the Obergefell decision.
I'm sorry. Yeah, 5-4 decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so the unelected judges on the Supreme Court decided that for us. And so it was necessary that SJR 39, for the time being, acknowledge that we're not trying to contradict the Obergefell decision. And at the same time, it also acknowledged that, you know, that the visitation rights that any other husband and wife would have at a hospital, for instance, would apply to same-sex couples. No problem with that either. So there are protections. There was no attempt to undo the Obergefell case. There's certainly nothing at the state level we can do to undo that very bad Supreme Court decision. But and I would also add, and SJR 39 was viewpoint neutral. In other words, it would not only protect a church that didn't marry same-sex couples, it would protect a church that did marry same-sex couples. So if the law changed in a number of years, and let's say a very liberal church, say a Unitarian church, did marry same-sex couples, they could not be persecuted by government for their beliefs about marriage, too. And don't we believe in freedom of religion? So, you know, we did our best to try to come up with something that would, you know, not, of course, please everyone. No piece of legislation ever does, but that would protect our rights in a free and pluralistic society, as well as, you know, those who disagree with us. Unfortunately, while we passed this by an overwhelming 23-7 margin back in March in the Missouri Senate, the Missouri House of Representatives, a committee in the Missouri House of Representatives last week defeated it, and I'm disappointed on that. But this really, Kip, is not an issue that's going to go away. It will be back, and it just tells us how important it is to continue to fight for our religious liberties.
And also, I want to point out that this is not a bill per se where the governor would sign or veto. This was simply to put it up to the vote of the people of the state of Missouri, and then it would be incorporated into the state constitution.
Exactly right, Kip. This would give the people a chance to decide to protect their fellow Missourians' religious beliefs.
Now, I know through its journey throughout both houses, it had generally been a pretty much of a party line division. But I noticed in the committee, a number of Republicans crossed paths here and voted against them.
That was really disappointing that three of the Republicans joined with the Democrats and voted against us. Yeah, it was disappointing. It's unusual that a vote that Republicans favor would die in committee like that. I think that was a big disappointment.
What was the rationale?
Well, the rationale of those particular Republicans, you'd have to ask them. I think one cited personal reasons that his wife and a pastor of his, who apparently had different beliefs on marriage, lobbied him. I really don't know the various. One of the three Republicans. Ann Zare from my own county is a very liberal Republican who has actually endorsed gay marriage in the past. So it wasn't a surprise that she would vote against this bill. So but the motivations of the various members, I'm sure, were mixed. But it was not a very good committee assignment. It wouldn't have been very difficult in an overwhelmingly Republican General Assembly to find a committee that would have passed my bill right through and sent it to the full House of Representatives.
And also, it's a statement that this committee, at least the members of this committee who opposed it, are saying they don't trust the voters of the state.
Well, that's true, too. And that's, you know, needless to say, I did talk to all three members of this committee, and I said, look, you don't have to, even if you have some reservations about this, let the voters decide. Pass it through. You still have plenty of opportunity for the full House of Representatives to debate and fully air the issue, and ultimately it will be up to the voters of the people of the state of Missouri to decide what happens. And yet there seems to be the political will to kill the bill outright, which was very disappointing.
What is the status of SJR 39 now? Is it completely dead for this session? Can it be revived? Will it be rewritten in the next session?
Yeah, now it is completely dead. There were a couple of possible parliamentary maneuvers after the voting committee last Wednesday, there was essentially a three legislative day clock where there were some maneuvers. The House sponsor could have made a motion on the floor of the House, and the Speaker of the House would have had to recognize him for that motion. That could have happened as late as yesterday, but now SJR 39, I'm disappointed to say, is completely dead for this session. So they passed through the Senate overwhelmingly, 23-7. It is dead now.
Where does it go from here, sir? Is it going to be rewritten? Will it be reintroduced as is? Is there? Do we start all over from scratch?
You know, every new legislative session, you start from scratch. I think we'll have to look at our options and really. Think about what our options are. As you probably know, we had a 38-hour historic filibuster that we had to break. The Democrats were filibustering to try to block a vote, to try to block SJR 39 on the Senate. We really, on the Senate side of the Capitol building, spent a lot of political capital, a lot of time. It ended up really consuming two full weeks because some of the filibuster antics continued into the next week to get it done. And we thought there was equal political will to get it done on the House side of the Capitol. And that proved not to be true at all. So I was deeply disappointed with the House, and we'll really have to regroup and assess what, if anything, the Speaker of the House and others would be willing to commit to and get behind, because that political will to get SJR 39 just wasn't there.
Do you see any indication that there is will to continue this fight within your other members of the House and the Senate?
I don't know. Again, I didn't see it there this year, so I think there were too many people in the House listening to some of the special interest lobbyists. So I don't know. I think we'll really have to be having a lot of conversations over the interim and seeing where different people are. One thing I will tell you, Kip, this issue is not going to go away. It's too important, too fundamental. What I've said to some people is this issue is no more going away than the issue of abortion went away in January of 1973 after Roe versus Wade. So we're going to keep up the fight, but exactly what form the legislation will take next year, we'll just have to regroup and assess.
There are two specific protections in here that really caught my eye. One is the idea of protecting an artist, whether that person is a cake artist or a photographer. The argument has been, well, they have to do this because they're engaged in commercial activities with the people. Therefore, they have to cover our thing. This protection would say, no, I don't have to if this goes against my conscience. For example, I couldn't imagine going to a black bakery and saying, well, we want you to do a cake celebrating the Ku Klux Klan. The other thing that is of real concern to churches over and above the individual is the protection of their buildings and facilities and property that are open to the public that are not necessarily directly used for worship.
Right.
For example, I'm a member of a home brewing club.
Oh yeah.
And we meet in a meeting room of a Catholic church.
Yeah.
So we're definitely not not a religious organization, but they could say, well, gee, we can't let you meet here anymore, because if we do that, then we're going to have to let people meet here who are opposed to our particular religious belief. We Lutherans face the same thing.
Well, you're right. That's exactly right, Kip. And that's exactly the kind of situation that SJR 39 was meant to protect. Clearly, the Knights of Columbus is a religious organization under the definition of SJR 39. And clearly, the Knights of Columbus are very dedicated to following the teaching of the Catholic Church, which includes that marriage is between one man and one woman. The Knights would have trouble renting out their halls for same-sex marriages or wedding ceremonies, wedding receptions. So, yeah, they would have to really shut down because they otherwise could be sued under under gay rights ordinances that might pop up, you know, either at the local or at the state level. But it gets even worse than that. Arguing before the Supreme Court, President Obama's lawyer, Solicitor General Donald Verrilli, was asked by Justice Alito, if the court decides in your favor, does this mean churches could have their tax-exempt status jeopardized? And Verrilli said, yes, that's something we will definitely have to look into. That's really quite possible, something to that effect. In other words, not marrying gays may mean that churches, just for the fact of not marrying gays, may be persecuted, independent of the issue over facilities or accommodations or anything else. So the stakes are very high in this. And, you know, in a pluralistic society, we don't just, you know, just run over each other until now. But there really seems to be an almost totalitarian strain of this radical gay rights movement that just does not like dissent, and you can't. It's not about living and letting live anymore. It's about suppressing and destroying those who don't agree with you, and that is really deeply disturbing for our tradition, our tradition of tolerance and pluralism in our country.
So often you see people say, well, if you disagree with me, that's because you're a hater. This is hate speech, and it's not protected by the First Amendment.
Well, that's what they're saying now. That's what they're saying. You know, there have always been exceptions to our right to free speech. The classic being yelling fire in a crowded theater. Generally, the only exceptions to freedom of speech have been clear and present danger, like the fire in the crowded theater, and maybe sedition, you know, during wartime during World War II, being an active Nazi propagandist. But other than that, freedom of speech has been pretty much unlimited. But now all of a sudden, teaching that which every religion in human history has held, as Justice Roberts said, I think he had a litany from the Kalahari Bushmen to the Aztecs from the Carthaginians to the ancient Romans have all even societies that were pretty accepting of homosexual behavior never defined marriage as anything other than one man and one woman. All of a sudden, that very same definition is considered to be hateful or bigoted. We really are living in a society gone insane. And yet, that's the society we live in. And all SJR 39 was asking for is conscience rights for those who disagree. And really, the force of, you know, corporate special interests came down on our bill in really a very aggressive way that was also very, very disturbing.
It has been. We've noticed this in a number of different areas. For example, the states now that have been passing laws concerning transgenders in bathrooms.
Right, North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina specifically. We saw it in Georgia, where big business has come down very, very hard on them. In fact, we had, I know Missouri was threatened with that. That was one of the arguments that was made against SJR 39.
Yes. This sort of cultural cronyism, I sometimes refer to it as political correctness on steroids. I honestly, Kip, I am not. I think the only way to it really is corporate bullying. And the only way to combat bullying is to stand up to the bully, and that's what I encouraged my fellow legislators to do. And in all honesty, these political boycotts generally don't last for very long. They tend to fizzle out. When you stand up to the bully, they usually give up after a little while. Actually, Arizona has been under a boycott for a decade over an immigration law they passed way back when. And Arizona is doing just fine economically. Houston repealed a gay rights law that the city council had passed back in November. Houston, which is a pretty liberal city, it's in Texas, but it's a city like many urban areas. It's a pretty liberal area, and they repealed their gay rights ordinance by a 2-to-1 margin. All sorts of boycott threats, and Houston is doing just fine. Indiana had the big blow up over their RFRA. Now they did repeal their RFRA, which but they had months of turmoil and threats of boycotts, and actually Indiana had one of their best years for job growth ever in their history. So so I don't know that these boycotts and this bullying, these economic threats are really all that terribly effective. But I really think the business community, you know, businesses that do things like generate electricity or make beer or sell pesticides, what in the world they're doing worrying about my First Amendment bill, my religious liberty bill, is beyond me. So again, another disappointment about this debate.
Well, as you pointed out, Senator, this fight is far from over, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about it in the future.
I'm sure you will, Kip. Thank you.
And please keep us informed of any further efforts going on this.
I appreciate it. No, thanks for having me on.
Anytime, Senator. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. and again at 9:30 a.m. Saturday Central Time on Worldwide KFUO. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Wednesday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.